Brother Emil Hersher from Phoenix, Arizona, who will deliver our baptismal discourse. Brother Emil.
Thank you, brother. And good afternoon, brother. I do not wish to wait longer to bring you the message of love from your brethren in Phoenix, who voted to have it conveyed to all those gathered at this general convention. And I would like to take just a moment to extend an invitation to our 47th annual winter convention that will be at New Year's time. The programs are being printed at this time. To those of you who are contemplating water immersion this day, we want to extend a special welcome. We realize that the Heavenly Father has been drawing you to Christ through an increasing appreciation of His wonderful word of truth. For it is truly the Word of God. And in order for you to come and properly understand this step that you are taking, it is necessary for you, as you have learned, to know the Heavenly Father's purposes both for the church and for the world. The great theme of the Bible, stated very, very simply in creation and fall, in ransom and redemption, and restitution. And then as a part of the means in accomplishing this final completion of the glorious work for the human family is the call and the testing and the development and the glorification of the church. Those who, if faithful in following their Master, their Lord, their Redeemer, in endeavoring to follow in His steps and to be faithful unto death, will also have that glorious privilege of living and reigning with Him to share from that vantage point as joint heirs with Christ and heirs of God the helping and the blessing and the lifting up, and the instructing, and the completion of the Heavenly Father's work for the human family and for the earth. In Acts, the 15th chapter, in the 14th verse, we are informed of that work of this age, that God is picking out a people for His name. And when we think of that, and we think of the name, we realize that He is drawing those unto Him that would be members of His own intimate divine family and share His name. And you can find, we won't take time to read it, but you know one of those precious promises to the overcoming church was that He would write upon them the name of His God and that they would also take His name as the bridegroom. Yes. Yet they would also be a pillar in that spiritual temple of God. In Revelation, the 5th chapter, in verses 9 and 10, we read further concerning this that confirms the thought. In verse 9 of Revelation 5, and they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made them unto our God kings and priests, and they shall reign on or over the earth, as the various translations give it. We read that in accordance with the Alexandrian and Sinaitic versions. These are they which are redeemed from among men, out of every kindred, tongue, nation, and people. And the wisdom of our God is manifested in that all peoples of earth will be represented in that Christ body, Christ head and body. So this is a very special day because for you dear ones who have heeded the call, have been drawn by the power of God and His truth, have indicated that you want to offer yourselves unreservedly to be faithful to do the Father's will, following in the steps of your Master, in and through Him, for all our works must be works of faith, and we can do nothing without Him. As He tells us in John 15, apart from me, or the margin says, severed from me, He can do nothing. So this is a special day, and we'd like to read a few words from the poet John Gray. Every day is a precious gift of time for us to choose. Hours waiting to be filled in any way we choose. Each morning brings a quiet hope that rises with the sun, and each evening brings the sweet content that comes with work well done. But certain days are special in life's eternal plan, special in the eyes of God as in the eyes of man. These days mark beginnings, lessons taught and learned, milestones reached along life's way, achievements sought and earned. And there is an extra beauty that sets these days apart and brings a lovely happiness to light the soul and heart. May this be so in your lives, and your brethren will rejoice with you. In Galatians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 8, there the apostle, harking back to that great Abrahamic promise that all the families of the earth were to be blessed, and he explains that Christ was ahead of that seed of blessing in Galatians 3 and 8. And then, as you remember, in verses 26 to 29 of Galatians 3, then he encourages the body members, those that would be footstep followers. We read, Galatians 3:26, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, or the sons of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." A part of that wonderful seed through which the blessings of all the families of the earth is to be carried forth in the mediating of that new law covenant, that new covenant, which after the work of this age is completed and the Christ head and body has been glorified, will be that glorious opportunity, that golden age that has been prayed for, that 1,000 years of Christ's righteous kingdom and administration that will undo all the adversary's work and really complete the work of the Heavenly Father for the human family and for the earth. Therefore, you have each learned, as God has drawn you to Christ, to consider consecration and water immersion as a manifestation of your faith in the Redeemer and of God's righteous purposes. You could wait, you've learned that, You could have full opportunity for life on earth in the next age. But your heart has said, I would like to serve you now. You see the need for the promised kingdom in earth. Would like to enter your school of Christ, your heart has said to the Father. I would like to be a part of your workmanship created in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and 20. I need your help to prepare me for an inheritance with my Lord, Jesus, to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, in Romans 8 and 17, and to also be with the saints in light, Colossians 1 and 12, so that I can have a share with them in the glorious work of blessing all the families of the earth that God, that you have promised. We need a portion of your Holy Spirit for this work in us, that we may be sanctified by your truth and by your Spirit. We have also come to realize that it has cost your Father in heaven and your Lord Jesus Christ a great deal to give you this opportunity, and that you are now recipients of God's marvelous grace in and through Christ, who, though he were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things which he suffered, as we find in Hebrews 5 and 8. So you have come to realize it will cost you something also to be conformed to Christ, to be developed and tested. Oh yes, salvation will be free for all the world of mankind, and so also is the grace of justification when accepted by the Heavenly Father in Christ, justified in spirit begotten. But the obtaining of an inheritance together with Christ comes as a reward for faithful well-doing, faithfully unto death, in the steps of the Master. It's a way to a glorious heavenly spiritual life together with Christ through death. Just as he was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification, so also do the body members need to also have that experience. For they will be planted in the likeness of his death, and as faithful in being planted as a willing joint sacrificer with Christ, not under Adamic condemnation, then also will they be raised in the likeness of his resurrection, to live and reign with him for the 1,000 years of lifting up and helping and blessing all the families of the earth. And dear brethren, that 1,000 years of that marriage period of bridegroom and bride, Christ, head and body, is only the honeymoon. Because to those that attain to this position, it is for eternity to be of the divine family of God, to share with him in all his wonderful and righteous and merciful works that will last throughout all eternity, for he is from everlasting to everlasting. Therefore, we understand that we are exhorted by the Lord to count the cost, and you, dear ones, have done this, we understand. We turn to Luke, the 14th chapter, for a moment. And here, our Lord, in speaking to the disciples, and we like to put it this way, because in Luke's account, he puts it in the negative. The other accounts put it in the positive, and both are good, but we'll only take time to read this Luke account. Verse 26 of Luke 14 says, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children, oh, surely it doesn't mean that. You mean a consecrated Christian would... No. It's love less. Oh, yes, that makes a difference. Oh, if any man come to me and not loved his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. But in reality, what happens when accepted in the Beloved and being guided and upbuilt and sanctified by the counsel of God's Word and by the operation of His Holy Spirit in our lives, so that we have the desire to know His will and also the desire to do it, we become better children. We become better to our parents. We become better husbands and wives. We become better friends and neighbors and members of the community. Yes. But it does mean that we have to establish priorities. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and He will supply the other things that are necessary, as His promise in Matthew 6 and 33. And then he continues in Luke 14, verse 27, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Well, now, in those days when one was carrying a cross, they knew he was on the way to death. And so it is with us. But not death in Adam. No, we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Out from under Adamic condemnation through justification by grace in Christ, Spirit begotten, accepted in the Beloved by the Heavenly Father, as we find in Ephesians 1 and 7. That we might become joint sacrificers together with Him. And in so doing, motivated by the Spirit of God, instructed by the counsel of His Word, we become Christ-like and God-like and prepared for that inheritance and that glorified position. And of the mind and heart in full heart harmony with God and with Christ to share in the glorious works that He has in mind and has made known to us for the blessing of all the families of the earth. And so then he says, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? So it is important that we see and understand what we are doing. Not that we should be fearful, because the Heavenly Father has also arranged that we would have some very precious promises for our encouragement. And something I think that can be helpful to us is to realize that there are no two beings in this whole universe that are more interested in your being faithful unto death and gaining a full reward than the Heavenly Father, who has drawn you to His Son and to this point, and to our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and was raised again for your blessing. And if at any time in your experience, and we have those times, we have mountaintop experiences like this, we have valley experiences when the trials and the burdens of life are heavy, when the adversary would like to get the thin edge of the wedge of discouragement in there to pry us away from God and from Christ. Yes. And if any time that you feel, through whether it's a slip of omission on your part, or it's a failure due to weakness of the flesh, or if it's just, yes, you know, it's easy to forget sometimes. If we feel that we're unworthy of going to the Heavenly Father in prayer in the name and merit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's exactly the time that we should get on our knees and go to the Lord in prayer. Because we have that privilege of coming to the heavenly throne of grace in every time of need. And remember that that very occasion and that very experience is one of His prime ways of drawing you close to Him, drawing you to God and to Christ Jesus, your Lord. So we understand why we will have some of these experiences. And the lessons we will be learning as we go along the way would be that if ever we come to a fork in the road, or we ever come to a place where we don't know, what should we do? Will we have been drawn close enough to the Heavenly Father that we would know immediately to go to Him? You and I could only surmise what might have been Adam's experience if when he found that Eve had taken a misstep, if he had gone to the Heavenly Father first instead of sharing with her. Nevertheless, the Heavenly Father knew and understood and has permitted these things for a wise purpose. Eventually, all the benefit of the permission of evil will prove beneficial to the whole human family. So we understand that. But let us learn the lesson. Let us learn the lesson of going to Him first. Proverbs 23 and 26. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Such excellent counsel for us. And as we come to these points, then you come to the point at which you have, we find in Romans 12 and 1 and 2, an appropriate text of Scripture for this day. And of course, for all of us that may have been in the way for a long time. Romans 12 and 1 reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, yes, by His unmerited favor. There's millions of others He could have called besides you and me that would have been just as good material for Him to work with. Yes, by the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, yes, in Christ Jesus, certainly not in our own flesh in which dwelleth no good thing. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service under the arrangements that He has made and the promises He has extended. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove, or you may ascertain, or find out, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that we might be prepared for an inheritance together with His Son, and prepared for the glorious work that yet lies ahead. We therefore become workers together with God in this. In 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, the Apostle Paul tells us, in the last verse of the previous chapter, 2 Corinthians 5:21, we read, For He hath made Him, that is Christ, for He hath made Him to be sin, or a sin offering for us, He who knew no sin, is the thought, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We know there were no chapter divisions in the original writings. The apostle continues, We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For He saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored or helped thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, yes, of this great salvation, this opportunity to follow in the steps of Christ, to be planted in the likeness of His death, that He might also be in the likeness of His resurrection. And let's read those words in Romans, the sixth chapter. For they refresh us and strengthen us. Beginning with the first verse of Romans 6, we read, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And we find later in that chapter, the thought is that like as Jesus was the sin offering, so also we have that privilege of sharing in that offering for sin. Oh, not through anything that we provide. No, of course not. No, but we have the opportunity He shares with us. For what hast thou that thou hast not received? Yes. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life now, in this time in which we're walking and following in the steps of Christ. That's an answer to his question up above. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Oh, no. No. Now we have been baptized into Christ, into his death, raised to walk in his steps. Now. And then, the completion of this, if we're faithful in doing this unto death, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. No, but that we should be conformed, transformed into the image of Christ. And that brings us to some other very wonderful texts. In Romans, the 8th chapter, and you know there's so much good in that chapter. First says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And the 4th verse correctly puts the balance of that thought, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then, coming down to some very familiar verses that are wonderful, you know, Romans 8 and 28, troubles little, troubles great, Romans 8 and 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose, that great purpose of this age, to pick out a people for his name. This Christ, head and body, this bridegroom and bride, for the blessing of all the families of the earth. And then he continues with this thought, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate or predetermine. What did he predetermine? He predetermined that they would be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, the Son, Christ Jesus our Lord, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Yes, the body members. Many brethren that would be like him. These are great privileges. So far as we know from the Scriptures, we have no indication that this opportunity will be offered again. We understand the great need for that promised kingdom in the earth. We understand also, as the brethren discussed from the platform here, surely we recognize that there has been a harvest. We recognize that there's been approximately 2,000 years here in between of this gospel age, of this work going on. Surely we recognize that we are drawing close to the end of this time, and yet the door is not closed. We have no indication that it is, and only the Lord can close the door, the Scriptures tell us. And you know, any one of us could, if we're not careful, we could slip back into the great company. So do not think the Heavenly Father is calling you and drawing you and extending an invitation to you without there being a place and an opportunity for you. Neither can you take anyone else's crown away. For surely you cannot make my calling election sure for me, and I cannot make yours for you. We can help each other. And that's a great privilege indeed. May the Lord help us to see and appreciate these things. So we become workers together with God. And that's so nicely stated for us in Philippians, the 2nd chapter, and the 13th verse, where he tells us, and we'd like to read verses 12 and 13. Well, where are you going to stop in texts like these? If we begin at the 10th verse, it's so encouraging. He's speaking about our Lord's glorification because of his being faithful unto death. And then he says in the 9th verse that God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Just think. And to be a joint heir with him. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth in the prison house of death. For there is to be a resurrection of the dead. and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and it doesn't stop there, to the glory of God the Father. How wonderful. How wonderful. Therefore, he continues, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, and that's parousia. And this verse is a nice contrast to understand the word parousia, meaning presence. Not as in my presence, parousia only, but now much more in my absence. Notice that contrast, present or absent, so simple. Anyone could understand that when we're thinking about the presence of our Lord. But now much more in my absence, writing to these beloved brethren of Philippi, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, workers together with God. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. How wonderful. How wonderful. We can do that. We'll never attain except by his marvelous grace from start to finish in and through Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, this is the work of sanctification. It will require the operation of the Holy Spirit in the life, the counsel of God's Word, the Holy Spirit to put in us the desire to look into His Word, to study it, to understand it, and also the desire to thereafter and therefore, according to our ability, and by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, to put it into practice that we might be sanctified by the truth and by the Holy Spirit of God. Prepared for the glorious work of the next stage. Vessels prepared for every righteous and good purpose. The symbol of water immersion is very right and very simple to understand. When Jesus began to be 30 years of age, we have in the Luke account, and we have in the third chapter of Matthew and the third of Luke, he came to John the Baptist at Jordan. And you remember that John the Baptist, recognizing his uprightness, feeling that Jesus was more right than he, didn't want to do that. But Jesus said, suffer to be so now that all righteousness might be fulfilled. For he was setting forth something for his followers to follow. And so he was immersed there. When he came up out of the water, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Luke account says, in thee I am well pleased. And he will say the same thing to each of you that approach him the same way. If there's a question in our minds as to whether it's right, if we have said, well, I'm offering myself unreservedly in consecration, and Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life in John 14 and 6, and what did he do first? He came to John at Jordan. Well, if you say you want to follow in the steps of Jesus, that's the right place to begin. The same place he did. So simple. So understandable. So we are thankful for these good things. How grateful we are for his loving kindness toward us and these wonderful opportunities. Well, I understand you have quite a walk to get up there for your immersion service. So we don't want to tarry too long on these wonderful things. But there are some very wonderful promises. You know, in 2 Peter, we're told God has made exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Romans 2 and 7, those who through patient continuance and well-doing seek for glory, honor, immortality, eternal life. Yes, that is, those are just a few of them. What about 1 Corinthians 10:13? He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able without also providing and giving the grace and the overruling providences that you may be able to bear it. He knoweth our frame, and he loves us. And he loves the world and mankind sufficiently to send his Son. He doesn't intend to destroy mankind, but to teach an eternal lesson that will never have to be learned again, and then to lift them up and help them. He gave us also a commission to bear these words to the Word. He told Peter, "Feed my sheep, feed my lambs." But he also told them all to go and teach the world, as they had opportunity, these wonderful things, this wonderful truth, bearing witness to the world, knowing that it would be the means of gathering out the wheat that the Heavenly Father is calling and drawing at this time. But it would also be a witness to the world, for he always tells of doing things first and then bringing them to pass, that his glory might be revealed. So we understand. Yeah. You know, there's a wonderful privileges for us. The recent nature films, the interest in space, the concern with the universe around us and our own planet, all preparations for the kingdom. The original commission was to dress and keep the garden, wasn't it? And the world needs help in doing this. The privilege of sharing forth and holding forth this message of life to the world. Being workers together with God and spreading the vision of our Father's wise and gracious and loving purposes for both the church and the world. Therefore, being workers together with God in revealing his own wonderful character and that of his glorified Son, our Lord Jesus. What a rare and blessed privilege. A whole new set of operating principles will be required for the world's blessing. Satan bound, Adamic condemnation removed, and the dying process reversed. The benefits of the ransom sacrifice arranged of God and willingly provided by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ must begin to flow. Those benefits must begin to flow to a dying human family. And the result, a good life with kindness, love, guided by wisdom, existing in families, among neighbors, in communities, among nations, love welling up in every heart and meeting a kindred response in every other heart. And life everlasting, not only the hope, but the reality and the result of the righteous administration of the kingdom of Christ and of God that we have been taught to pray for. This is our hope. This is our privilege. It is to this that we have been called, to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we rejoice if along the way seems long. Sister Hersher, many years ago, wrote two verses of a small poem. Walk with your hand in the hand of the Lord, and you'll never be afraid. No matter how steep or rough the path, you will always make the grade. In your weakness, you will find his strength, and you'll find your fears all gone. Just place your hand in the hand of the Lord and keep on keeping on. God bless you. Now, we would like to ask you to stand. We would like to, as we do this, if there are any others that wish to join those down in front, we would ask them to do so at this time. Would you like to sing the one verse, or should we? One verse of number 15.
Let us all go ahead and join in singing the first verse of hymn number 15, Hope in Christ.
Thank you.
there are no others, we would like to ask the candidates to stand, please. We have just three questions to ask. Do you recognize that as members of Adam's race that you have no right to everlasting life? Yes. Have you accepted our Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And have you offered yourself in unreserved consecration to do the will of the Lord in and through Christ faithfully unto death? Then I would like to have the privilege of coming down to extend to you on behalf of the brethren assembled here and your brethren everywhere, because you're going to have a large family, the right hand of fellowship. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. In your name, please. Your first name?
Sandy.
Sandy. The Lord bless and keep you. And for you, Sandy?
Sandy.
Also. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. God bless you. And Mark, the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, that's our Lord, of course. I hope you love me. And have believed that I came out from God. John 16:27. Brother Don. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4. And here?
Walter.
Walter?
Walter Osterman.
Brother Walter Osterman. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. 1 Peter 3:12.
God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Hersher, for those beautiful words. Brethren, we're going to close this portion of our service by singing the remainder of hymn number 277, verses 4 through 6. Why don't we all rise for the singing of the hymn? And at the close of the service, we'll ask the candidates to file out through this door. Well, they'll go up to the pool, and then we'll follow in a few minutes after they depart the building. We'll go ahead and sing the last three verses of 277.
Thank you.
loving and gracious Heavenly Father, Thou who art the God of all grace and truth, we come at this time with thankful hearts to Thee for those whom Thou hast drawn to Thyself. We pray for them that Thou wilt receive them according to Thy holy will, that they may have a portion of Thy Holy Spirit for their sanctification, for their guidance and direction. May they feel Thy presence and Thy loving kindness day by day. We pray Thy blessing upon the further services and the immersion service. Pray that Thou wilt overrule the words to glorify Thy name and that of Thy dear Son, to prosper Thy truth, and that we as Thy children may be edified thereby. We pray and give thanks in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus. Amen.